Welcome to Open Comments with myself, Ash.
And me, Oliver.
Where we'll discuss things openly with our guests from a variety of backgrounds and from different walks of life. Through this podcast, we hope to give you an inside look into a variety of topics with an equal mix of humour and candour. In this series, we'll touch on some of the following topics: healthcare, HR, diversity, access to technology, and lots more. We hope you enjoy our show and look forward to bringing more topics into the fold. Let's get started.
Okay. On today's episode, we have Scott Sloan. Scott Sloan is the Chief Technical Officer at Kyndryl for industry accounts and continues business model development in his participation through Kyndryl in the Open Group Healthcare Forum. Scott is certified as a distinguished architect by the Open Group, serves on the board of our Kentucky Bluegrass HIMSS chapter as Director of Marketing and Communication, and holds a degree in computer science and an MBA in marketing. So Scott, welcome to the channel.
Thanks so much for having me here. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you for coming. So we could maybe start with just a little bit about what you do and, well, for Kyndryl, but also for the Open Group and the Healthcare Forum.
Oh, sure thing. My background here with Kyndryl is as a Chief Technology Officer for one of our industry accounts. In that role, I've got responsibility for technology decisions and strategy for us and for our clients. As well, more broadly, I've been responsible through the years for our broad healthcare ecosystem, aligned with that, the organizations that we've got in place to be able to bring together our industry and technology strategy and to be able to help our clients with digital transformation. So it's a breadth of capability and responsibility.
Thank you. Now, we're aware you recently gave a fantastic presentation at one of our quarterly events in Edinburgh on the value of industry reference architectures, Zira and healthcare. Please, can you take our listeners through what the main takeaways were from your presentation?
Sure, let me take you through a little bit about the collaboration work that I do with the Open Group and what the Healthcare Forum is about. So in the Open Group, we've got a number of industry-based fora. One of those is the Healthcare Forum. The Healthcare Forum was put together about probably 10 or 15 years ago to be able to focus our capabilities in the Open Group around governance of standards related to healthcare. Aligned with that, we're stewards of the federated health information model. And in that, we've got access to hundreds of person years worth of work that has brought together information in such a way that we've got a consistent view of healthcare information, really from all facets of capability. Along with that as well, the Healthcare Forum has focused in on being able to build an industry reference model. And as a part of that, we've taken the first step toward it to be able to bring forward O'Hara. O'Hara is our open health enterprise reference model. And as we built O'Hara, we focused in on an initial implementation. That implementation is Zira. Now, Zira isn't something that we've built at the Open Group. It's something that was built as a part of the Dutch healthcare environment. Within the Dutch healthcare environment, the ministry has funded the interoperability initiatives that they've got. And as a part of those interoperabilities, built a common healthcare model. And that healthcare model is focused primarily within the constraints of hospitals, but it brings into account two other aspects. One aspect is the view of the academic environment, so the ability to provide teaching as some of our large academic medical centers do. And the second is to provide a foundation for research. So Zira brings together those three aspects: the hospital inbound health treatment, the ability to be able to provide a reference for the teaching environment, and as well for the scientific inquiry. environment. Now, as a part of the open group, what we've been able to focus on is first the translation of Zira. Zira is written in Dutch, and all of the architectural models are in Dutch as well. So we've accelerated the transformation of that to be able to make it more accessible from our efforts at the open group. Today, Zira has been used broadly across Europe, not only in Dutch environments, but as well the Karolinska Institute took the foundations that were built in Zira for the business capability modeling that they did and for the development of their overall business capability. So it's been used really across a variety of organizations, and it's our belief that the translation of the Zira model will be able to drive that more broadly. As well, we've started to look at how can we in the open group extend the Zira model. So beyond what's in there today, as it relates to a business model, an application model, and a process model, looking beyond that to how is it that we could extend to a common set of business capabilities and possibly beyond that to value streams. So we're working internationally right now to be able to pull together constituents from multiple continents and multiple healthcare systems, to be able to have a view of what Zira offers, be able to look at some of the other work that's going on within the open group, for instance, within the Business Architecture Forum, and being able to drive standards and process into business modeling, to make those real and to be able to extend the business reference model that Zira brings forward to be able to be used more broadly from a business architecture perspective. If I were to step back and say, well, what's that mean practically? When we think today about one of the challenges that we've got in the healthcare environment, it's to be able to bring together dissimilar systems in interoperability. The foundation of the federated information health model, I think from a data perspective, helps that. Zira augments that from a reference model perspective to give us a way to be able to think about the systems that we've had and the information that's there, to be able to provide common views into that. And I think as we move forward then, being able to look at the EMRs that we have, for instance, the electronic medical records systems, to be able to have a common view across those, to be able to drive better quality within the processes we have, and then to be able to link that quality into the informational aspects, I think will be important in the future. So I view the work that we do in the healthcare forum from an interoperability perspective to be really important. And I think it's as well, it's a great opportunity to bring across multiple healthcare views from all of the participants across all the countries that we've got, to be able to really look at challenges which are common globally, and to be able to come together to determine how it is we might be able to best address those as a global community.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. So this is something that we've asked not a colleague, but maybe a collaborator of yours, Dr. Jason Lee, of the director of the Healthcare Forum. With the rise in digital healthcare, especially post-pandemic, what do you think, in your opinion, can healthcare providers do to better provide for their customer base? And if you know of any, what work has already been done?
That's a really interesting question. I think to answer that, we need to look back a little history to think about how we got to the juncture we are in digital healthcare. Because, I mean, the point you bring it up is really important. You know, post-pandemic, we've had a lot of changes. And, you know, the question was asked at one point, what's it going to be like to go back to our normal? And the real question or the leading answer there is, what's our new normal? Because when you look historically as to how we got to where we are today from a digital healthcare perspective, to me, there are two really main threads. One is the emergence of electronic medical record systems, and the other is the emergence of the Internet of Medical Things, which is a play on the term Internet of Things to take into account those that are related to healthcare, the Internet of Medical Things. So I think the first real big push in digital was the shift toward electronic medical records. And as we've looked at how that's emerged over the last 5 or 10 years, it's really been toward having hospitals and providers being able to have a common way in which they're able to store patient data. So being able to have that digital storage of patient data is an incredibly important and significant piece that we have. But more than that, probably about 15 years ago, the whole internet of medical things piece started to emerge. I mean, I can remember really clearly being able to put devices into patients' homes that were able to collect information from them and be able to transmit that back. And in fact, be able to initiate real-time live conversations with a provider. Now, that was 15 years ago, and the technology that we used at that point was not really very sophisticated. But look at what's just happened in the last 5 years. The whole shift toward having ready access, in many cases in smartphones, to digital information by patients has been really a bi-directional piece of value. The first is from an Internet of Medical Things, the ability of the patients to be able to self-record data. Suddenly, we're shifting from providers recording data to the patients being able to record it themselves and the providers being able to access that. Secondly, beyond that, being able to have the access in handheld and at-home internet devices to be able to access providers. We've had telehealth initiatives going on for a number of years, and with the pandemic, that's been a real shift to, in many cases, where patients had their primary access rather than secondary access through telehealth. That's been, I think, a huge piece of value. Along with that as well, in addition to having access to those handheld devices, having wearable devices. Now, all of a sudden, the shift as well in the last 5 years has been to occasional data collection to continuous data collection with wearable devices. This has, I think, given providers an entirely different view of patients, everything from being able to determine some likelihood of some diseases, to be able to track their progression and treatment, for instance, with Parkinson's, to be able to do gait analysis of patients. And then beyond that, to be able to judge interaction and to be able to bring together a couple of very important traits between treating people from a medical perspective, from their health, and being able to treat them likewise for their mental health. Knowing that loneliness is in very many cases a social determinant factor, with those wearable devices in some ways, being able to not only track but being able to connect people. So this shift toward the Internet of Medical Things, combined with the digital shift toward electronic medical records, I think has brought information together in a way that it's never been before. And in some ways has transformed what's available to providers to really be able to consider the health of their patients. I think in many cases, one of the single greatest determinants of a patient being able to obtain and be able to understand the implication of health activities is to be able to have that conversation with their provider. Putting our providers in a situation where they're being able to walk in either literally in an office or figuratively in a telehealth visit to that conversation with a patient, prepared in such a way that they're really able to understand what the patient's situation is, what their present concerns are, how compliant they are with their care plans, and then to be able to understand how their interaction with the patient might affect that trajectory is really, really important. Among my other credentials, I also am a paramedic. And absolutely have that experience of walking into a patient's home blind to what their situation might be. I think that with lock boxes, we've been able to, for our outbound first responders, have been able to provide them at least an insight into what the patient's situation might be. When were they last treated? What were they in the hospital for? What medications are they taking? Thinking about this as it will transform our provider experience for our physicians and other first-line providers, and how we can utilize digital health and the Internet of Medical Things to better be able to manage that conversation. To me, I think the door is wide open. It's now about talking about the interoperability of that medical information, being able to provide it and ingest it in such a format, using AI or machine learning, for instance, so that very quickly, without having to scan record after record, day after day, month after month, or visit after visit, and understand what a patient has been through, but to be able to provide a précis to that provider as to what this patient's situation is, what their most recent care and management has been, and then what their very personal situation is. Gives that provider at the point of care the ability to really be able to impact that patient's health. From the patient's journey perspective, it gives them that opportunity to really be able to provide the insight as to what they're experiencing. So to be able to record their notes, for us then to be able to use natural language processing to be able to understand what the patient is writing down and to be able to interpret that in such a way that. Some summarization as to what they're experiencing, and hopefully some insights as to how their health might be better enabled can be provided. So, to me, I think there are so many opportunities for us in the provider world to be able to really focus in on patients' health and to be able to transform that patient journey in such a way that there are, I think, just so many really great opportunities to be able to provide better healthcare and to make healthcare not just, something that we have at intervals, but that we have from a continual basis.
Thank you. That's great. And furthermore, can you tell us about the importance of accessibility with healthcare and also what makes you so passionate about it?
So, accessibility, I think for many people, is a real challenge. And when we think about the social determinants of health, access to healthcare, is a very important factor. I've talked here a bit, about the importance of technology and how technology has transformed accessibility to healthcare, for instance, with the ability to be able to provide telehealth to individuals. However, from a social determinants of health perspective, we still have some challenges. One of the things that I thought was very interesting as a part of the Open Group Healthcare Forum, as we entered the pandemic, one of the big challenges that we identified was being able to be scheduled for testing and scheduled for vaccination. Just the aspect of scheduling brought in some challenges whereby, not only were people not available necessarily to answer phones for scheduling, but aligned with that as well, individuals, if they wanted to be scheduled to be able to have a vaccination, had to be able to have access to a computer. So the leader of our healthcare forum, or the forum leader, Padma, who is a medical doctor, along with her family, had put together some scheduling algorithms that were available to be able to use on handheld devices, so on phones. In some communities where they lived, they were able to provide this to the local communities to be able to schedule participants in for vaccination to the vaccination centers that were being set up. So that took some of the challenges from a technology perspective as it related to access to technology to the lowest common factor, which was to a handheld device. However, having said that, we still have challenges globally as it relates to availability and accessibility to medical care. In many cases, technology is a limiting factor. One piece is access to that technology. So you have to be able to get to a computer to have internet access, or at the least case, be able to have a handheld device that supports that. But more than that, you also have to be able to understand the technology. For many older populations, that in and of itself is a challenge. I can remember very clear the story of one participant who was going to have a telehealth experience with her provider. And she was looking for software that she could download to be able to, because she was told she needed to have a camera for the telehealth visit, some software that she could download to be able to provide a camera, not realizing that along with it, she needed to have a physical device, which was the camera itself. So I think that there are many challenges to accessibility that we haven't yet overcome. Some of those challenges, I think, will be resolved over time. But at the end of the day, being able to have the technology requires some cost. It requires some cost to be able to provide. There are many companies today that are building telehealth centers for inbound care, to be able to bring providers together, to be able to provide them the facilities and the scheduling to be able to quickly and automatically be able to provide telehealth, capability. There are many applications that are being built that provide telehealth on a variety of phones, not only mobile phones, but to be able to provide a larger and better care within an environment that people can use their personal computers. But on top of that, communities are also responding to extend the community resources that they have among a variety of means, both public as well as private, to be able to provide people who might not have access to that technology, the ability to be able to get access. So I really think that the ability to be able to provide reliable access to the technology that will enable people to be able to get to the healthcare resources that they need is going to be something that we'll work through over time. As I'd mentioned previously, I think this has been one of the huge benefits of the pandemic. Very quickly, we've globally been able to drive the availability of telehealth. In many local regions as well, we've been able to provide funding for it. Whereas before there were significant constraints around funding, with the pandemic, we were able to really quickly break through many of those constraints. And as well, many people who 3 or 4 years ago might not have been able to participate in a Zoom call now have been able to have that experience. And in many cases as well, many older individuals who never had or would have had a telehealth visit have been able to experience that as well. I guess I'd say two things. One is, I think we've come a long way, whereas we've been able to provide increased access to medical care through telehealth that we hadn't been able to before. I think that we still have many challenges going forward, and being able to provide ongoing access to medical care, breaking through some of the social determinants of health challenges that we have, I think will be something that we've made progress on, but we still have more to tackle.
The pandemic has obviously helped with accessibility to healthcare, with the, telehealth and consulting your doctors online or via the phone. That's definitely been boosted since the pandemic. But do you think that it's also helped individuals' awareness of healthcare and what's, you know, what they need to take into account without necessarily needing to visit a doctor. But with the wearable devices that they have, they're able to track their own information and maybe see what doesn't fit their normal day-to-day activity.
So I think one of the really great things that we came to with the pandemic is the fact that people have a greater awareness of themselves. You know, I think over time with technology, as we've started moving toward wearables, people have been able to develop this insight that they didn't have before. I mean, I remember very distinctly with one of the clients I was working with a decade ago, they started having people wear pedometers. All of a sudden, the fact that, you know, I've got this number, which is 10,000 steps a day. Am I walking 10,000 steps or am I not walking 10,000 steps? The fact that we made things measurable was really, really important. And the fact that those wearables made that information automatically recordable was yet another step. So being able to provide devices to individuals was, I think, a huge step forward. Being able to then provide them the feedback proactively as to how they were doing and to let them interject in their own health and set some of their own metrics, I think was another step. And that was accentuated, I believe, as we entered the pandemic with all of a sudden new things to be able to record about yourself. So what's your temperature? Record your temperature every day or record it multiple times during the day. What's your normal temperature? Understanding what your temperature usually is, and then understanding when there's a variation. So in many ways, we educated patients about the fact that people are different. They have different norms, and being able to understand your own norms and your own rhythms is something that's really important. Stepping past that then, as we entered telehealth visits, whereas in the past many people would walk into a doctor's office entirely unprepared, suddenly we were in a fashion and really be able to have the information pulled out of them. Suddenly we had the opportunity to be able to provide patients up front with a checklist before their visit. So, you know, have you traveled in the last 14 days? Among various symptoms, which ones of those have you had? When did they first start? How severe are the symptoms? So being able to provide them with an external checklist, which then became an internal checklist as to what are my norms, what's my health now, when did my health begin to vary, and where am I? Am I getting worse? Am I getting better? This is something that we've classically relied upon healthcare providers to pull out, and all of a sudden we've put patients in the position to be able to do this. So it's been, I think, a real self-awareness of individuals and their own personal health over time, which has made it that much easier, in my opinion, from a belief perspective, to be able to help people shift from what is my health now to what my health should be, and to put them in a position to understand how they can influence their own personal health. If, for instance, I am ill today, what are my symptoms? What do I need to do to protect myself from getting worse? What do I need to do to protect others from potentially infection that I might cause toward them? And then as I go through my treatment as well as my recovery, what can I do, number one, to alleviate my symptoms, and number two, to help myself more quickly recover? I think that we've driven through that externalization of insights about the individual through the wearables a much better view of their own health. And then secondarily, we've been able to provide them with insights as to what are the courses of diseases, how is it that they should be able to manage their own care in that disease, and when and how to be able to select and obtain treatment. Beyond that, one of our early findings from an Internet of Medical Things perspective for chronic diseases was the fact that many times from a patient concern perspective, just having a way that they could connect to a medical provider to be able to ask questions, to be able to manage their anxiety was in and of itself one of the most important ways that they interacted with their health system. Just being able to manage that anxiety went a long way to their ability to really understand their health and be comfortable with the treatment that they were receiving. Similarly, it's my belief, as we've been able to provide people with these tools and capabilities and give them that understanding that, yes, if you really do need to speak with a provider, here is a quick way through telehealth that you can do that. And by the way, you know, providing some of them some guidance as to, you know, here are the things that you should think about to determine if that's something that's necessary. I think that we've given people a whole different set of tools to help manage their concerns about their health and to be able to get quick and valid feedback as to how is it that they can better manage their health or any external intervention that might be needed.
Thank you very much. Now, I won't speak for Ash, but I know personally I've already learned from you a lot about digital health and accessibility just from our conversation today. But if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you some more questions around you and your career in particular.
Of course.
There was one point you mentioned that you were a paramedic or a first responder, and now you're a chief CTO of Kindrel. Could you just talk a little bit about your career and how you ended up where you are today?
Oh, sure thing. It's been a very, very interesting career. So a number of decades ago, I was focused in building interfaces. Here in the United States, we have a multi-payer system where our providers and our payers are two different organizations. And at the time, it was really, really important for us to be able to collaborate. Said differently, when we had a patient in the hospital, the doctors needed access to some of the medical treatment that had been provided, which our payers had. I started out being able to help enable the local hospitals and healthcare payers to be able to collaborate together through the use of electronic tools. As I shifted my career toward time, I extended that from a focus between the payer and providers into the life sciences domain as well, which in many cases, that triad of how we bring together the medical device providers and the pharma companies with the providers within the insurance space as well is really, really important. And one of the things that I learned about driving that collaboration was working effectively in an industry is so much easier if you're an insider than an outsider, that I decided I really wanted to be able to work as an insider. So I started down the path of getting my initial certification, which was as an EMT. And with that, I had the opportunity to spend a day riding around one of our urban cities in the U.S. with a couple of paramedics and thought, my gosh, you know, being able to walk into people's homes to provide community health and to be able to help especially some of the older patients who didn't necessarily have ready access to medical treatment with solid medical advice, and to be able to help them not only in that moment, But to be able to hopefully be able to affect the trajectory of their health, to me was just so important that I decided to go out and be able to become a paramedic. So along with that, not only working in hospital but with on ambulances, I was able to drive that view from a healthcare provider perspective of very much what our patient challenges were, some of the challenges from a community perspective. So being able to walk into the home of a patient that I would see 3 times a week because she was concerned about heart palpitations, and to be able to provide her a level of assurance, but as well to be able to provide recommendations on what she could do to better her health in the long run, to me was really, really important. So it's through that lens that in many cases I view healthcare. I think all of us, it's one of the great things about the healthcare industry, all of us have that experience as a patient. To be able to bring on that experience as a provider as well, so to be able to see both sides, was, I thought, just really phenomenal. And then in the roles that I've played subsequent to that, being able to bring together our global resources to be able to help them as well, look at those two views, and to be able to, as we look across our clients, to be able to help determine how it is that we can help them in this digital transformation, to be able to make the patient journey in medical care better, to be able to provide better health, and to be able to integrate together the digital transformation aspects with that patient journey, and be able to provide the views both of the healthcare providers as well as the life sciences firms behind it, to me was just a really important shift. As well, I'm working here in the Open Group in the healthcare forum, having other medical professionals that participate and contribute there, and being able to bring together that transformation of healthcare down to what does it mean for one patient or one provider is just a really significant opportunity.
That's certainly been an interesting career thus far, and look forward to your future endeavors.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And to move on to the next question, what advice can you give to recent graduates, please, looking to work in your field?
Oh, sure thing. So, I think when you look across technology and healthcare, there are so many different opportunities. I think I'd provide 3 pieces of advice. The first is find something you're passionate about. There's so many angles to come at this digital transformation in healthcare. I think the thing that is most important is understand where your passions lie. It may take some looking around. There are so many different opportunities that being able to find that, I think, can be a journey, but that's something that you should strive toward. The second is, I would recommend being able to develop some strong experience within the technology domain. There are, I think, in many cases, opportunities with transformation that's ongoing now and going to be ongoing within the next decade, that understanding the challenges of transformation, because it's not just about transforming the technology, it's about transforming the culture as well. Being able to get buy-in that telehealth is something that is valid and needed to be able to make it available is less about the technology and more about the acceptance of the technology. So being able to be involved in a large transformation initiative, I think, is very important. And then third, I would also encourage developing a deep understanding of healthcare. Many times what we say is that it is more, it's easier to be able to bring technology to someone who understands healthcare than it is to bring healthcare to someone who understands technology, I would recommend a deep investment within your healthcare domain. If you're coming at it from an administration perspective, if you're coming at it from a provider perspective, if you're coming at it even from a technology perspective, being involved within the industry, I think is really, really important to be able to have a clear understanding of what drives the challenges in the industry and be able to understand what it means to be able to address those challenges, I think is really, really important. So those are the three pieces of advice that I'd bring to new graduates.
That's great. Thank you so much. Just to round things off, do you have any hobbies that you'd like to share?
I sure do. I have a profound interest in horses that's been very, very, very long term. My girlfriend and I have a farm. I live in Kentucky in the United States. The whole industry here is about the equestrian industry. She and I have both participated in the sport of three-day eventing and love it dearly. And her business is the rehab and care of older and injured horses. So she uses our farm to be able to take care of them. For me, it's just a fabulous opportunity to take everything that I do in healthcare with humans and patients over into the equestrian industry as well. So as she runs her rehab business and brings horses in for care, I'm being able to look at it from a medical perspective and a prior perspective for me is just really fun. So it's something that is a passion for both of us and is just such a fabulous crossover. I'm really fortunate to be able to have that.
That is truly inspiring. So we'd like to thank you for joining our show. Certainly very insightful learning more about healthcare accessibility, and even more so seeing how passionate you are about it. For those that would like to keep up to date with you and what you do, where can they reach you? For example, LinkedIn, socials, website, etc.
The easiest place to reach me is through LinkedIn, Scott E. Sloan. As well, you can reach me through email, scott@scottesloan.com.
That's great. And we'd also like to take this opportunity to thank all of our listeners who have been tuning into our podcast and following us on this journey, where we have been interviewing a variety of individuals from various walks of life, such as yourself, who have been bringing in their expertise and offering some great advice and anecdotes along the way. And we look forward to bringing more topics into the fold. And we're very grateful to really have this opportunity to speak to people like you. I can certainly say that I've been inspired today, and it's great for us to keep learning from others. And yeah, we're very grateful and excited to see what's more to come with these episodes. So thank you so much for, you know, coming on our show and talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much.